الرحمن الرحيم. So sometime weeks ago we began discussing the life of Haji Imdadullah Mahajir Makki rahmatullah alayh. So just to recap, or just to make things clearer, his name was Imdadullah. Wasn't a qualified alim, did some kitabs, but way beyond that, mashallah. So Haji, because he did Hajj, Imdadullah was the name, Wahajir, because he immigrated with Hijrat, Makki to Makkah Mukarrama, and passed away there also. So we did a bit of his background, life story, and then his malfuzat, his sayings, and how they understood Sharia. And also Haji Imdadullah, Muhaji Makki Rahmatullah Ali, was the Sheikh, was the Gangohi, or Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, Wala Qasim Sabna Nuti Rahmatullah Ali. These two names you must remember now. Mr. Rashid Ahmad Gangohi and Muhammad Qasim Nanotwi. These two ulama, great ulama, were students in the Madrasa Darul Uloom in Delhi, which is India, UP area. So every now and then to the Darul Uloom, which was in Delhi, Haji Sahib used to come. Haji Sahib used to come there to visit the Asatiza. So like this now, they got acquainted with him. And they knew him to be a great alim and a great sheikh. And as they went on, mashallah, both these ulama, they became bay'at to him also. Wala Muhammad Qasim Sahib, Nanotwi. Nanotwi, because he's from Nanota, which is a village. Gangohi, from Gango. Darul Uloom is still there. So Wala Muhammad Qasim Sahib was the founder, what you call Bani, or Darul Uloom Dioban. Together with him was his classmate, Wala Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, two luminaries of the time. So this Shaykh was the Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Mahajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. Then after them also was Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi from Thala Bhawan. Ashraf Ali was his name, Thanwi. He also was bear to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Mahajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali. And many other ulama were bear to him, although him being not an alim. As we explained before also why he made hijjat, why he migrated to Makkah al-Mukarrama, because the British wanted to kill him. Because he had waged war against the British and they intercepted his letters that he was sending to the Khalifa at that time. Therefore, he was forced to leave the Indo-Pak subcontinent and go to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And that's where he lived the rest of his life. So the ulama used to go to visit him. They sit in his majalis. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him a great ma'rifat of Allah. The ma'rifat of Allah. So as we mentioned, amongst his khulafa, was it Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali? Then Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali's Khalifa was Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali. Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali's Khalifa was the Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Then Abu Sheikh. So we go in the same sila going up to Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So among the spiritual grandfathers, this is, you can see, the fountainhead. Then from him he goes to Miyaji Nur Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali, then going up thereafter. So here Hazrat says, among the malfuzat and the sayings of Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says, one day the discussion revolved around seeing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. So it's mentioned in the Hadith Sharif also that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam said, Man ra'ani fil manami, the person who sees me in his dream, then he has really seen me. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ فِي السُّورَةِ, because shaitan cannot take my form. If you see me in your dream, then really you've seen me. Amongst our great mashayikh of before, especially for them in Iyaz, I think it was Rahmatullah Ali, once making wudu, he must say sunnah. He must say sunnah. So, that night in his dream, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam appeared. And he told him, did you call this love? You call this love? Just on that, it hit him so hard. So for the rest of his life, I remember clearly, he would perform 100 rakats, salatu toba every day. Just for missing out one sunnah. So when he was asked, why so much? He said, it wasn't just for missing out the sunnah. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, Whoever sees me in his dream, in reality, he has seen me. Meaning Nabi Asa had come to him, had come physically into his dream. So he said, by me missing one sunnah, I give taklif to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come all the way to reprimand me. Because shaitan cannot take his form. So just leaving one sunnah out, 100 rakat, salatu tawbah every day. So we can, and look at the message, you call this love, that you miss my sunnah and you say you love me. So from there we can understand now what is true love. When it's true love, the wife is upset sometimes, you didn't open the door for me. Or you didn't do this for me. Can't pick up one glass and help me a little bit. Then you call that muhabbat. So we feel now, okay, next time you must do it. But here we leave out the sunnah, sometimes we swak. We just leave it out. We don't think anything about it. All right, eating on the floor for years now, eating on the table. It hasn't come in the heart still. Let's start sitting on the floor at least. Let's implement the sunnah. I start eating on the floor. Just on a lighter note, eating on the floor, Fazal of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that time we went on Umrah 1992. Our first Umrah. Month of Ramadan we went, about 6-7 weeks Umrah altogether. And then Allah Ta'ala put in the heart that now it is implement the sunnahs in the life. So came back home, and there was Newcastle Ijtima that year also, 1992. When Newcastle Ijtima came back home, and then our Ijtima we went eating on the floor, sitting on the floor, etc. So I came home, a young boy at that time, only 17, 16 years old, so I decided I'm sitting on the floor. So that night supper, Honorable Mother came looking for me. Eating time, I'm coming. I never pitched up. Then I went quietly when they weren't there, took my food, came in the room, opened the musalla and I said, no, she came, what are you doing? I'm eating. What are, why on the floor? I said, sunnat. I said, sunnat. He said, you're becoming radical. Not eating on the floor now. What's this up? I said, no, I read the kitab. That time there was a kitab by Dr. Arif Abdul Hay, Dr. Arifi, Dr. Abdul Hay. Rahmatullah Ali of Karachi, as a Talmud Khalifa. So it was a kitab called Uswa Rasul Akram. Old copy. My grandfather had, so I got a hold of it. And I had some kitabs at home in the namaz room behind the door. Then I started reading one by one kitab. And among the first kitab, Fazail Amal also. So, subhanAllah, the effect of that after that. But then obviously now, I was still young at that time. Now to implement it for the whole family, etc. But here I'm the amirs of the house. So slowly, slowly, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We bring it onto the sunnah, inshallah. So he says that one day the discussion revolved around seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said, brother, it is for senior people to have such high hopes. Who says this as Hadith Sahib? He says, it is for senior people to have. So, where are you talking about seeing Nabi alayhi salatu salam in a dream? As I said, we should make the dua. Our kabir never should make the dua. So, the way we have the tongue and the hope and hearts to see Nabi alayhi salatu salam. As I said, we need to see so we can come right. So, we ask Allah, Ya Allah, you show us that our life can come right. This is we feel ashamed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he says, brother, it is for senior people to have such high hopes. If we are only given an opportunity to visit the blessed qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be a boon and a bounty for us. Just to go there. Allah Ta'ala take us over here. As this humility and submission are gauged from here, it also teaches and draws attention to those who seek spiritual feelings and glad tidings. Those who seek, they want some ecstasy. They want to get on some spiritual high. You say, where are you hoping of all that? Just carry on your amal. Quietly carry on your amal. Many people say, now don't get the feeling anymore. Others say, you're not doing ibadat for the feeling. You're doing ibadat for Allah. Whether I feel or I don't feel. May Allah ka bandahu. I'm Allah's slave. I'll do whether I feel or I don't feel. It also teaches and draws attention to those who seek spiritual feelings, what they call ecstasy and glad tidings, that this desire contradicts servitude and love. In Quran Sharif also, and Allah Ta'ala speaks about the awliya, ala inna awliya Allah, la khufun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. So Allah Ta'ala says, that, listen, that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la khufun alayhim, they have no fear upon them. No fear in regards to what will come ahead after they pass away. They have no fear. Alright, Allah Ta'ala will keep them safe. ولاهم يحزنون, nor do they grieve upon what they left behind. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. إذا كم سابوا سير رحمة الله عليه وعدي, they have pure بكا إيمان and they have taqwa in them. Then for them Allah Ta'ala say لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا, for them will be glad tidings in this worldly life. Tafsir of glad tidings, ulama explain, is that ru'yatu salihah, pious dreams. Either they will see or people will see of them. These are glad tidings for you. Now Allah Ta'ala will open your heart, Allah will open people's hearts around you. But you shouldn't wait for this now. Somebody says, Hazrat, I saw a dream. Yeah, tell me. He opened eyes, he saw me. You should be asking, but he saw a nightmare. But we wait now. Something maybe he saw me. I was the Kaaba Sharif. Now you're waiting to see where you saw me there now. He said, people are before, they never waited for this. Ya Allah, save us from this. Save us from this. So he says that it also teaches and draws attention to those who seek spiritual feelings and glad tidings. Glad tidings, bushra. This is pious dreams. They say good dreams. That this desire contradicts servitude and love. Servitude and love, you wait for no repayment. I'm doing it because I'm a slave. I love to do it. And this is muhabbat and love. Unconditional, unrestricted love. Whether the love is shown back to me or not, Allah is an embodiment of love and I should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fundamental objective is acceptance and submission. This all Akabir say. The Thani Rahmatullah Ali says this. The fundamental objective of all of this is acceptance. That Allah must accept whatever I am doing. And here also ulama say that the real fikr and concern of a believer, one is to do the amal. He says, bigger fikr than that is Allah Ta'ala accept my amal. As I mentioned recently also, Allah Umar Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali, they come inside a little bit. Anwar, come sit on top, Abba. You're ducking behind this. Come sit on top. But this need the sofas, please. They need to, Haji, sit on top. The sofas need to be used, please. All right, please. Anybody in this sofa, please sit on top. So I'm comfortable also. The Zara says once, Mawla Umar Sahib Alampuri Rahmatullah Ali, Mawla Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, used to give bayan in Nizamuddin. Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahimullah, the revival of Tabligh, he would give the morning bayan. 3 hour bayan in the morning. After his demise, then his son, Mawla Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he took over that kursi and chair of bayan, whatever was said, Nizamuddin would filter down the entire world. Hazratji mentioned this. And he would go. This was the teachings of Tabligh coming down. After Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah passed away, now who will take the kursi and the chair and be able to give a bayan of that caliber? But Ilyas Sahib Rahimullah, when he used to speak, he used to only speak the incidents of Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. Surah Yusuf, Surah Uhud, Qawm Ya'ad, Qawm Thamud, all these different qawms. Allah Ta'ala, how he sent the Nabi to them, how he gave them da'wat, and then how they were destroyed because they rejected the Nabi. So he opened up all these incidents of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, his da'wat in Mina, then in Muzdalifa, then Arafah, and Aqaba, and how the Ansar came, the whole chapter opened up. In fact, when Ilyas started speaking about the Makki Zindagi, the Makki period of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and his da'wat, what was his day, what was his night, where ta'lim was taking place in the house of Arqam, and all these incidents, ulama was astounded. Where are you getting all this from? Usually when we talk about the Sirat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like every year when it comes to the season of Sirat, then they will speak about the Amina's marriage to Abdullah, then how his father, Abdul Muttalib, took that oath and that vow, 100 camels were slaughtered to save Abdullah's life, then he was married to Bibi Amina radiallahu anha, right? And then how she fell pregnant with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his birth, and that was it. Beyond that, one, two incidents of Mount Safa, when Mr. Sallam went there and he called the Quraysh and he gave them da'wah towards Islam, and that was it. Well, Ilyas Sahib opened up the whole different incident of the life of Mr. Sallam. His day and night, the da'wah in the haram, da'wah here, da'wah there, making jamaats of two people, and all these incidents. So they got surprised. That used to be his bayan. Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote Hayat al-Sahaba. The kitab we read after Isha on Friday nights. The lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He opened up the entire life of Sahaba. How they light, their day, their amal, etc. So he used to open that entire thing up. So you can imagine how caliber bayans they were giving that time. And now, Muhammad Yusuf Saab, the second Amir of Tabligh, he passed away. Who will take their kursi now? Nizamuddin, who will give the bayan over there? But the Shaykh Zakaria Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, he was the one that made the decision that when Muhammad Umar Saab will give the bayan in the morning. What we heard when the Shaykh gave that hukam and he gave that command, that when Muhammad Umar will give the morning bayan, when Umar mentioned, the entire night I didn't sleep. I had fever. Where am I going to sit on that chair of Nizamuddin, where you got high caliber ulama? Whatever is said over here goes to the four corners of the world. Jamaats are coming, going, four-man jamaats, Arab jamaats from all over the world are coming. How am I going to sit over there? So he said that after Fajr Salah, then Nizamuddin, Fajr Salah was over, and now they're waiting for the speaker to come. But the Sheikh, mashallah, himself was a bit Jalali, his voice was very heavy. So now they're waiting for Umar Saab. Is that coming? Is that coming? He said, I was sitting in one corner of the Nizamuddin, covered in my shawl, my whole body shaking because of fear, of fever. I had fever. Where am I going to sit? You know, first time we went in Tabligh, those that went, they say, your bayan tonight. That means, sir, please, no gush today, no talim, whole day preparing my bayan. He says, now, somebody, Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahimullah, when Umar Sahib was bad to him. So Hazrat Shaykh just asked one time, Muri Umar kaha hai? The way he asked, he says, ke mera bukhar toot gaya. He said, my fever broke. Heard my husband's voice, my fever broke. He said, shuru kar lo. He said, he put me on the kursi. I sat there. The Sheikh sat in front of me and he put his head down. And I started speaking. And I just started speaking. I remember clearly the Sheikh sat there for about 2 weeks, I think, for every morning bayan. Then he went back to Saharanpur. He returned a few months later and he sat in the bayan. This was his tawajjuh also. He sat in the bayan, and then as the Shaykh mentioned, that which is the chahat and mansha of our heart, that which is the wish of our hearts, Allah has put onto his tongue. What's in our hearts, he's speaking it. Now he'll speak. And for 30 odd years he spoke. 30 odd years he spoke. Umar Saab Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat says that once he wrote to his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Saab Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, I have this fear in me right now. That on the day of Qiyamah, if you go to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, what if not even two rakats of my salah was not accepted? What I want to do? Not even two rakats of mine was accepted. At least two rakats of Allah was accepted. If that wasn't accepted, what I want to do? Hazrat Shaykh wrote to him, he said, I got the same fikr. Only my fikr and concern is, what if Allah Pak didn't accept one sajda of mine? I'm worried about one sajda, you worry about two rakats. Mubarak to you, Allah accept at least two rakats. I'm worried at least one sajda is accepted, ya Allah, your karam, your fazal. But this was the fikr and concern of our Akabir, as it says, the fundamental objective is acceptance, ya Allah accept. Ya Allah qabool. That's why Hazrat taught us those five duas after amal, which we should have learned by now. Alright? Now, when do we read that? Now, we know our memories, how we forget so quickly when to read it. But the more we hear about it, right, make it a habit. Every day after Isha, alhamdulillah, I put all my namaz today with Jamaat. Now, make that dua, as it says, at the end of every good action Allah Ta'ala gave tawfiq, read those five duas. Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'mati tatimu s-salihat, ma sha Allah, la quwwata illa billah, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. So, four, five duas altogether. Ash-shukriya to Allah. Allah, you accepted, you gave tawfiq, I didn't do anything. Ma sha Allah, la quwwata illa. Allah, you gave me tawfiq. So every day should make it happen after our witr namaz, our nafil namaz, read these five duas. Shukr to Allah. Allah, I had tawfiq to read all. Whole day came out so smoothly. Alhamdulillah. The shukr to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And as it says also, he taught us, I say, after I finish my namaz, I make dua to Allah, ya Allah. My Allah, you akramul akramin. Who can equal to your karam and your kindness? Ya Allah, I only spoil everything I do. Anything I touch, anything I do, ya Allah, I only spoil it. Ya Allah, I beg of you, through your kareemi rahimi zaat, your kindness, ya Allah, you accept my broken namaz for me. And then, ya Allah, as the way he says, ya Allah, not only accept it, you are double the reward also. Because you are most generous, we are most generous. Yeah, I don't only accept it, but double my sawab too. They say, why not? Ask for it. Allah will give it, like how the child asks also. The child says, only want one, only one, please, only one. Then when you give him one the way, he makes a cute face. He says, give me another one. Then he says, give me another one. You just take it and go. They say, we are what to Allah? You know, we're only slaves of Allah. We act like slaves also. We're not bosses. We act like slaves. We know we messed up everything. Allah Pak knows too. And I'm telling Allah Pak, I know I messed up. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ. Ya Allah, only you forgive. According to somebody of ayat, when Banda says this, Ya Allah, only you forgive. There's no one that forgives sins besides you. Ya Allah Ta'ala smiles at him. In which way? You know that. Who else can forgive sins? Nobody. No one can delete your sins. It's only him. Allah says, you know that. Therefore, you have to say that no one can forgive sins besides you. Allah says, he knows. Only I can forgive. So he asked the right person, so I will forgive him. But the fundamental objective is acceptance. Allah must accept it and submission. And we submit ourselves. Objective is Allah must accept and we submit ourselves. No matter how much we do is never enough. We have to continue submitting. And that to Allah Ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. إذ قال له ربه. Remember the time Allah Ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Aslim. Oh Ibrahim, submit. And how he submitted. How he submitted to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala everything he gave. Then what he says, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ya Allah, I submitted to you, the Rabb, the entire universe. Everything belongs to your life. Submitted completely to you. Submission also, not physically. This is one thing Hazrat speaks about. And he's saying it even more. Submission not only physically, mentally also, and spiritually also. Okay, mentally, we have not submitted as yet. Mentally, we're still secular. We're still thinking secular. We have to do one, two, have to do one, two, and three. My children have to. So mentally we haven't, psychologically we haven't submitted to the decree of Allah. We say, when you give bayan also, Allah is the creator, Allah sustainer. When you speak, but, the but has to come there. But you have, leave out the but. Say it, period, and leave it like that. What you have to do without the but, you're still going to do it. You don't even say that to. Allah will give. I know Allah Ta'ala gives. This weekend we'll go for ishtima, inshallah. Right? We're not panicking now what we're going to eat. See what yaqeen we got. Organized. Isn't it? We've got yaqeen organized. Sort it out. Where, who's going to do the cooking? Where is going to come from? Where the potatoes are going to come? Onions are going to come? And the meat and the chawal and the rice? We said organized. We know Allah Ta'ala will send it from all over the world, it will come. Organized. We think so good of Allah, Allah organizes it like that. You see, but then we still have doubt about Allah. Doesn't mean we mustn't work, but it's the mindset. So we have to submit to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. This only come when we continue speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and get our yaqeen off ourselves. That's the most important thing. To get the yaqeen off ourselves that I am not running my business. Is that my mind, not my intelligence? But there's an alim also, issuing fatawa or teaching whatever. Is that I'm so sharp? Doctor also, super specialist. I remember clearly that time, Dr. Amla, passed away, marhum. He said, Mufti Sahab, we get doctors now that play God also. He tell you, I give you 3 months. He said, what, you God or something? You're giving the guy 3 months to live. Yes, he has some expertise. But you can't put a time to his death now. Yes, by your expertise, but he says you can't play God. You leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ammi didn't come out like that also. So the fundamental objective is acceptance and submission. Once a person came to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali one day and expressed his remorse, but he says, I remained ill for so many days. See how sharp the akabir were when it came to spiritual diseases. They came to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Mahaji Makki Rahmatullah Ali. He says, I remained ill for so many days and therefore couldn't perform salah in the Haram Sharif. They couldn't make it to the Haram, I was sick. Couldn't go to the Masjid, etc. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said, a true Arif, who's an Arif? Was he recognized Allah. He knows the system of Allah. A true Arif does not express grief at not being able to perform salah in the Haram when it is not within his power. Understand again now. is like indirectly you are objecting to Allah Ta'ala's doing with you. The Allah, you made me sick, and I couldn't go to the haram. Who are you going for? And who did this to you? Why you object? As it says again, a true arif does not express grief at not being able to perform salah in the haram when it is not within his power. It wasn't within your power that Allah Ta'ala already had wished it and decided for you not to go to the haram. This is because there are different ways of acquiring Allah Ta'ala's proximity. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulates an illness to be a means of proximity instead of salah in the haram, how can a person give preference to his own liking? This is submission. Submit to the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this also, the mashayikh, they say, uske andar kibar ka bu hota hai. That in your expression also, is some scent and fragrance, not fragrance, say bu, some scent of pride in that also. You were to go to the haram sharif, but you were sick. So, mashallah, you such a, so paban you are. All right. So they pick it up very quickly, but he didn't tell him directly now. He says, you didn't really understand. If you knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even that illness and not be able to go into the haram, you should be absolutely happy with the decree of Allah. Allah, you hold it like this, this would have brought you, your illness would have brought you closer to Allah more than your salah also. Salah is a positive ibadah, you enjoy it. Illness, bitter pill. But on that, you're happy that you get proximity to Allah Ta'ala. So the whole thing is that what you like. The whole thing is what Allah Ta'ala likes, I like that also. Allah Ta'ala wishes for me, I like it. No problem. Allah Ta'ala wished I read salah at home, then I read it at home. These now remember, they were really people that if they didn't go for salah in the masjid, it means they were really, really sick. Unlike myself now, a little bit we say, not feeling well, we sit at home. This statement exposes the core of ma'rifat, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Arif Shirazi rahmatullah alayh explains this as follows. He says, no matter what a murid, a salik, experiences on the path, there's always good in it for him, no matter what it may be. Whether it's dunya or the spiritual self, is only good in him. O heart, a person cannot be misguided by remaining on the straight path. The person who develops full conviction in this will always experience spiritual progress. So for a arif, for a salik, treading, no matter what conditions come, but remember he's still treading, he's still moving. So they'll be good for him in that. Although outwardly it looks adverse, but it didn't stop him. That's why we say no matter what halat come, the amal can't stop. Amal has to carry on. The dunya come, dunya doesn't come, but my amal has to carry on. Allah Ta'ala is testing now which way your amal through is going to stop or is going to continue. So the amal can't stop. Then Hazrat says, do not give up worship, do not give up ibadat, even if there is ostentation in it. Show. Now you feel that, you know what, I started namaz, people are going to see me. They're going to say, this is ostentation in show. He said, don't give it up, you must carry on with it. Hazrat Hakim Sahib would use two words for this, rahmatullah alayhi. He said, ekhe dekhana or ekhe dikhana. Dekhana means to look, and dikhana means to show. The person performing salah in the first saf, whatever it may be, so he's doing namaz and he's saying, log mushko dekh rahe hain, people are looking at me. Hazrat Hakim Sahib says, so what? You're not doing anything haram? No, are you doing anything haram? Let them look at you. So what's the problem? Dekhana jaiz hai. To look is jaiz and permissible. He said, but you don't do dikhana now. You don't do this to show them. Now what happens now? Because you feel they are looking at me, so I'm not going to do this amal. I'm not going to do this amal. He says, why? You must carry on doing it. What are you worried about them? The blog and they all are blind people. They can't do anything. You must carry on your amal, but you mustn't do to show them. So continue the amal. Ostentation does not always remain ostentation. Show will change sooner or later. It will be experienced for a few days and then becomes a habit. Once it becomes a habit, you're standing there first, so you don't worry about anybody behind you. You just carry on reading your salah, whatever amal it is. Sincerity develops after that. So you get over the show now. Don't even worry about the people. You worry. It happens now. You worry people are looking at me. You'll carry over a couple of days, few days, but you just persevere till you'll forget the people behind you also. Now you worry about the creator in front of you. The Khaliq is there, Makhluq is behind. Qiyamah is there, nobody's going to hold my hand and say, I come and take you to Jannah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. just continue the amal. The sincerity develops after that. Note, as I say, the seekers are taught not to give up actions upon becoming vexed and perturbed by ostentation. Don't give it up. If you give it up, Hazrat says, that you see people are looking at me. So what happened? You gave it up because they are looking at you. So you're actually showing them now that I gave it up because of yours. That too are showing. You're not doing also, you're showing. So either way, you lost now. So don't show them that you're not doing it. Don't show them that you're not doing it. Continue doing it. And very simply, Hazrat says also, Rahmatullah alayhi. Abul Haqsab Rahmatullah alayhi says, it's so simple to correct the heart. He says, before you do the amal, tell yourself, Ya Allah, I'm doing it for you. Ya Allah, I'm doing it for, that's it. Doing the amal, the heart changes, Ya Allah, this is for you. And after the amal finishes, you make it, Ya Allah, I did it for you, accept it, finish. And bury the amal. You say, how you bury your evil deeds? Bury it like that and walk out as if now, you don't know who did the amal. You don't know who did, don't look right, don't look left, just move. Carry on moving, like it finishes over. And you're gone, you did nothing whatsoever, forget about it. Like how you forgot your gunas and sins, just bury it. So correct the niyat before the amal, during the amal and after the amal. Ya Allah, I did it for you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you preserve it by you. Keep it by you. Qiyamah Day, Ya Allah, give me the reward for it. Instead, they must continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create sincerity. Subhanallah, this is really a point of cognition, to understand. They continue the amal, don't stop the amal. So many a person feels this now. They're feeling, if I start this now, I started this sometime, my two rakat nafil after Isha now. I was never reading. Now I'm sitting here reading. People are checking me now. What are you reading now? Two rakat sitting down, you're the only one in the first saf. Now you're feeling a bit. Don't even look around. Carry on looking front. In Kaaba Sharif is here. So in the Kaabatullah, I'm sitting here reading my salah. And when you finish your namaz, finish like you did nothing. Continue moving. Don't even look back. Don't even think what you did. Did your five du'as, four du'as, shukr to Allah, and continue moving. I see Allah, I already did this for you. When a person is young, fear must overwhelm him. When he becomes old, hope must overwhelm him. But nowadays is opposite. The youngsters have got hope. Allah is, and as our Shaykh al-Hadith used to say, Lo kehte gujati ma, Allah bo ghafur rahim che. Allah became ghafur also. Allah is ghafur. You see, it's correct. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, but there's a precondition. لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Allah is forgiving for those that renew their iman. وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. And they do a good deed. Then Allah will forgive. Not that you carry on doing wrong. Allah will forgive. Allah will forgive if you make tawbah. You renew your iman, change your life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Is that just Allah will forgive? So the young lives and the old people nowadays, they're more fear. What will happen in the qabr now? What's going to happen to us? It should be the other way around. Here to Hazrat says so beautifully, Alhamdulillah. The thought is also, when it comes between hope and fear, he says the gauge, the needle should be in the center. You have hope and you have fear. Like how you have the, what gauge you call it? The heat gauge. If you don't have so much of fear now, it goes into the red. Don't have so much of hope, it goes into the blue. Just be in the Sirat Mustaqim, straight path. Because you go so much in the red, the shaitan will take advantage. He's got fear in him. Let's keep him like this now. Go so much that side, shaitan also will make you hopeless and helpless. You will become despondent. Don't know, Allah will forgive me or not. Or too much of hope also not good. So keep it in the center so you won't have any problems. Total balance is taught here. The reason is obvious. The purpose of fear is to prompt a person. Why do we must have fear? To prompt a person into action. Here Hazrat says also, Subhanallah, before he says, people who complain, hey, before the ulama, they just dispatch you, want me to Jahannam, or when Jahannam, Jahannam, you hear what people saying. You say, oh, Juma Bayan, yeah, because you're doing wrong. You're doing bid'ah at that time. Right? Whether that, what is, this will take, Raja, would they take these chariots and all these things? All these things. See, they were doing wrong. So they were going on that way. So they had to warn them. They're doing all the wrong things right now. Say, Molana, only despite. But he can't give you glad tidings because you're doing the wrong things. They're telling you, but you're doing wrong. You're going on your wrong path. So, person telling you, but you need poison, you're gonna die. You say, what's wrong with you? The Sheikh Zakaria Sabsi Rahmatullah, he says, imagine a person too, when he regards the poison to be the medication. What are you gonna tell him? MashaAllah, very good. Why you tell him, but you're gonna die? So they're telling you all, but people didn't like it. So they want to hear good things, but you're not doing anything good. But there has to be a balance. But as it says, nowadays, don't give people false hopes also. They all doing wrong. So Allah will forgive. Allah is merciful. Definitely, He is merciful if you make tawbah and you change your life. So both you have to see both angles to it. But this also, when it comes to fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that should be there. So Hazrat also in his bayans he mentions you should speak about Jahannam, speak about the qabr also, speak about the snakes and the scorpions. One fly in the bedroom, or supper time, how he spoils the whole supper. One mosquito in the bedroom. Oh, you're going in Jamaat, you got your mosquito net. But the mosquito got into that net. Oh, it doesn't make you iftar the whole night. How are you going to sleep now? All right? He says, in the qabr, is it one mosquito in one mosquito net? He says, snakes and scorpions are waiting. You didn't pay your zakat, they're going to wait for you. You didn't read your salah, they're going to wait for you. The way you're going to run thereafter. It's real, it's happening, they're there. So therefore, every day perform your salah on time so you can ward them off. If you expire tonight, alhamdulillah, you got your salah, everything done today, Allah Ta'ala will keep them away. So it's not a joke, it's a reality. So we just have wishful thinking. I'll be all right, I'll sort things out. I'll get my way around. It won't happen like that. Then the mouth will be sealed and the heart will speak. What's in the heart, that will speak. So therefore we have to speak about what will happen in the qabr, on the day of Qiyamah, Jahannam also, all these are realities. And the time for action is when he is young. Now is the time for action. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, such a beautiful hadith, and such a beautiful teaching also. As it mentions also, that when he came to these Western firms, organizations, institutions, etc., they have this, what policy they have it? Retirement policies. There are different names for it now. When you retire, then you still get some income from the company, from the firm, whatever organization will still, right? Because every month now you're putting away from you whatever it is for you. So when you do retire, then you'll get your payout slowly, whatever it may be. Percentage you'll get bulk sum, and then we'll pay you out slowly. Then even your wife becomes a, what do you call it? Beneficiary to it. All right? You see, where they learn this from? The Hadith Sharif. Hadith Sharif also has the right retirement fund, sick leave, etc. Where is it? Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that person who is habitual of his amal daily. This is Rahmatul Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's reading his salah, his Quran, his zikr, whatever he's doing for the day. The Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that person who goes on safar, his whole tartib is upside down. What he was doing daily, now he can't do it. Person who goes on safar becomes old and weak. So when he's on safar, or he becomes sickly, or he's old, and he can't do what he was doing, Allah Ta'ala instructs the malaika, they ride for him as if he's still doing it. Ride for him as still, he's still doing it. The man is gone old, 80 years old, 75 years, sick now, he's doing his tahajjud all these years, he's doing awabin all these years, now he can't do it, doesn't have the energy anymore. Malaika writing, he did it. Here in the food, here's your retirement package. Allah Ta'ala is still giving you, because you scored in your youth. When you were young, you were doing it. So you were there, Asr to Maghrib in the masjid, after Fajr in the masjid. Now you've gone old, can't do it anymore. Back is paining, arthritis, Allah give good health, afiyat. Or go on and suffer also. Go on and suffer also, you're still getting the full reward for it. If he's overwhelmed by fear in his old age, it will result in despondency and hopelessness, which could cause a person to lose his iman. Therefore, there should be a complete balance. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. To make amal, inshallah. Shall we just do one more? Shall we? You see, characteristics are in themselves praiseworthy. They become blameworthy when they are used in the wrong places. Person has a good voice, but not using it for haram things. Like, you should use it for qiraat, for Quran tilawat, for dhikrullah, whatever good trait Allah Ta'ala has given him. So if it's used in the wrong place, then it's blameworthy. The Sufi masters do not remove characteristics. What talents you have will be used in the wrong places, so they don't remove it. What they do, they only change the place where they are to be used. Person who's spending the wrong avenues or the channel it now. Person has a free hand, now use it in the right place. Person got a lot of energy in him now, going all the wrong places. Now they'll divert his attention. Now put your mulaqat, but you start from the morning now. MashaAllah, you can't sleep after Fajr, so you get moving. Like one businessman from Durban, Allah Maghfirat Farmai, passed away recently. He was a solid businessman. Alright, I don't take the name, we all will know him also. But when he's up and he's moving all day. So when he went in Jamaat the first time, what you were told when he went there, now we know the Sadis go in Jamaat. After Fajr, people laze around now, like we got time to waste. Right? They became mashwara, what time is breakfast? What time is talim? So he said, he says, what kind of business this is? Why? You gotta start moving now. So anyways, brothers made the mashwara, now they're going to sleep. So they say he stood there. Why, what you're doing? I told me sleep this time. You're going to the shop now, get up. You got people to meet. You got the whole Jamaat up, although it wasn't the Amir. You got the whole Jamaat up. He said, we don't sleep at home. We came here to sleep. We came to do work over here. So people have that. Use him for the right thing. Keep them busy also. Otherwise, keep others busy. But the Sufi masters do not remove characteristics. They only change the place where they are to be used. So Allah Ta'ala gives them that, what is a sixth sense. You see, this person has a certain talent. So use him for that. He's good in that field. Adi Maran, that Hazrat mentioned also, that once in the Khanka, we had our marhum Haji Suleiman Kaka, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah fulli qabr wa noor. Many years he ran the kitchen downstairs. I'tikaf time, half past 3 o'clock in the morning. He used to come, 200 mu'takifin, start making the eggs for them. His whole Jamaat running under him, day in and day out, day in and day out. And wasn't a much of a built person, very small statured person, but very loud voice. Hazrat every year would make announcement towards the end. Brothers are requested to please make the khidmat satis maaf, especially the Amir Saab, because the Amir of the khidmat has to be a little bit hot-headed, or the work won't get done. They wouldn't have got food also. Because they're there to prepare everything. So to get the khidmat moving at 2:30 in the morning, we need somebody, a strong player like that. So he was good in that. So as the Talmi says, Rahmatul Ali, this is an excellent point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed benefits in all carnal capabilities. You see, he also, subhanAllah, has explained to us. He says, a youngster has lust in him, carnal desires, can't control it, whatever it may be. Whether it's for zina, whether it's for drugs, whether it's to go out, bad company, he's got a go in him. He said, that person who has that type of passion in him can become a wali of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala overnight. Compared to a person who doesn't have, what do you call a person doesn't have, like a nerdish type of a boy. Right? Really now, he's a bookworm. Right? He's, mashallah, he does his homework. Not like us, you carry a bag only with lunch inside. Right? Only lunch inside, kurta, and run there to madrasa after that. Homework we see in school, you copy the guy's assignment, and then too, you get double hiding because you copy it wrong. I'm sure people experience that now, unless you did S7 in school. Right? But most of the boys are G48. And all towards standard grade or low grade. So, Khair Hazrat says, is that what point you were making? So, the youngster who has his passions in him. He says, the stronger the lust and the passion, he says, you must use it as a springboard. Suppress it. Jump on it. And that will throw you high in the marifat of Allah. Compared to a person who doesn't have it. Person doesn't have it, then he has to push more ibadat to be close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This youngster who has this, his ibadat is basic, but he's refraining from gunayans and he's not giving in. When he's not giving in, he's suppressing. Once he's suppressing, like a springboard. It's just now making him fly towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat says, now he's tasted all the haram things of the dunya. Alright, Zakim Sahib would call it now, when he's going to the airport, or he's going somewhere public area, he said, wherever he looks, mithai ki dukan hoti hai. Everywhere is mithai ki dukan. Shops of mithai. Alright, all the haram. Wherever he looks now, he said, doesn't mean we'll go eat it. He said, mithai ki dukan ka matlab ye hai, what it means. That if you don't look, Allah will open up a whole seal of mithai in your heart. There'll be a whole seal of mithai after that. I didn't look. So only if you looked, you say your heart is empty. We didn't look. See, Allah says, here's another dukan open, another branch open, another branch open. And who doesn't branch? You want chain stores now. Allah said, open chain stores. Chain stores, so much mithai you will have, as Hakim Sahib will say, now you begin exporting. You see, people will come to you, you the supplier. Then your majlis will start. And you will take benefit, faida from you. Then the mithai will go international also. There was sheikhs, mashallah. How the fuse is spreading overseas. Now the country, more than 200 majalis are connected this to Azadul only. More than 200 majalis in France, in Paris, in Jeddah, where and where. Why are they exporting mithai now? Dekho. Everywhere is going. Hazakim Sab Rahmatullah Ali. Now has mentioned Ramadan to me. The Temali Mazhar Sab also. That Hazakim says fuse is very, very strong. Fuse means is Noor and Barkat. Very strong. It's just moving. You can't stop it right now. Now somebody phoned me on the Jum'ah day. Person phoned me and they mentioned to me some years ago he had a dream. Somebody had a dream of when Yusuf Adil Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was sitting in the Haram of Makkah. The third serf or something like that. The Imam turned around and told him to make the Imamat. So then the dream was related to Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So his response was that the tajalli of Allah starts from where? From Baytullah. He says his nur also and his teachings was spread as the nur spreads from Baytullah. Our Shaykh also, Nazar Hakim Sahib, gave our Hazrat Abu Hamid Sahib Khilafat. It was Yomul Jumu'ah, the day of Jumu'ah, after Asr, behind the Hatim. Tomorrow I'll meet you there, come. They met Hazrat Hamid Sahib there behind the Hatim, the day of Jumu'ah after Asr, and he gave him Khilafat. He told him, your nisbat and your connection to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will be Makki, the beauty of Allah, the greatness of Allah, and like this also, your barakat will spread. So you can see how he's just spreading. So they only change the place where they are. This is an excellent point. Allah Ta'ala placed benefits in all carnal capabilities. That's why they don't kill it. Person has anger, they know where to use it. Mashaykh, they know where to use it. Person has anger problem, put him on security. But also, curb him a little bit. Make him a marshal there for parking. You have everything under control. Now you can't put on Sufi Sahib there. Anybody will come. Right, Bichara, as it says now, he says now you know, go into the battlefield. Kuffara de, they chalo bhai kuch baat chit kar le pehle, chai pi le, they will talk. It's been a time for chai now. Now roll up your sleeve. You come, let's have it out. He says, now you must know what to do. When? Then you can't say, no, I don't get ghussa, Hazrat. I'm very cool and calm. Bhai, tum gade ho. You're a donkey, you don't get. You must get angry, but the right time, the right place. Though they should not be removed through spiritual exercises, these carnal capabilities, because a person will be harmed when there is a need to utilize them. For example, if anger is removed totally, the person will not be able to remove evils and sins. He'll just become cool and calm, he'll go with the flow. Go with the flow, people take haram place too, he'll go with them. Evils taking place, he'll just sit and he'll look. He won't say anything. Now's the time for you to exercise your authority and tell them, stop it. Family is doing haram, wrong things, they just sit. So they got anger, but they're using the right place. So the mashayikh, they don't remove this. They know how, they say, they make imala. Imala means they twist it a bit. They just twist it about the person's mizaj, temperament. Habits can be changed, but a person's temperament can't be changed. Some people are jalali, some people are jamali, some people are naturally like that. Now you can't change him. Some people are just, they're cool, they're calm. Now you know, make him fiery. You can't change his nature. So each person, Allah Ta'ala has made them different. So use it accordingly in the right way. Allah Ta'ala give us a fiqh, inshallah.